These large conglomerate companies, they contribute to political campaigns. They expect to get something for their money, deciding on their own and for their own purposes. The news we see in here.
The only reliable, durable, and perpetual guarantor of independence is profit.
And it is a good day. This is Mike reporting to you from the internet for Sunday, July the 23rd, 2017, and you are listening to Newsreel, the WOG Global Sit Rep on Core Political Tyranny, Technology, and Trends for your headspace and timing. Rant Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening in and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow along and check our facts by going to newsreel.ca. This is a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio Talk each and every Sunday afternoon at 1400 hours Pacific time, or 1700 hours Eastern time. So, 2 weeks have passed since I did the last episode, episode 73. I'm sorry for that. Things were a little bit off last weekend. I wanted to do some recording and had a little bit of noise on the days I wanted to do it throughout the week. The weekend we actually went, where did we go? We went somewhere. Crap. Oh, yeah, we went to a park. That's where we went. And went hiking all day. Or I did. My wife didn't hike the entire day. But I went with our nephew and her dad. And I think her one sister came with us, too. And we just went way out in the bush. And that was fun. Saw some really interesting river stuff going on there. It's actually a river here. And it's in a national park. And it's blue, it's turquoise blue. Because the minerals that that river runs through or something like that along its course. It's on the side of a volcano, obviously. So it turns turquoise. And we actually went to the spot where that river and another river merge. So one of the rivers is clear, one of them is kind of like a murky color. When they merge, it turns turquoise. So it's very, very cool. So we checked that out last weekend. So that's why I didn't really do an episode last week. But I did forewarn about that because, you know, things are kind of weird. Some more news for you, though, is that I am actually, instead of running this iteration of Newsreel up to 100 episodes total, I'm actually going to be running it up to 75. That means that next week or 2 weeks from now or whenever I do the next episode is actually going to be the final episode. Now, I will not be doing it live. I've thought about doing it live off and on since Sean dropped off and to do his own thing. And honestly, just the timing when I was in Richmond was just, I had shitty timing in Richmond. It was a pretty kind of quite a bit of noise where I was living in Richmond. And since being here, I've thought about it. And you know, when I started this up again just 2 weeks ago with episode 73, I was like, you know what? I could get into the live stuff again using either Mumble or Discord. It'd probably be Discord because it's actually set up for that right now, I believe. It would have been nice to have done that, but just the time. Right now, I'm actually looking into, Mad Max motorbike going by. I'm actually looking at, I'm possibly going to be working in the next week or two, possibly, I don't know, but there's a company in the capital city here that has shown interest. I'm going in for interview and testing and stuff for that next Friday, so a week for a little bit, this coming Friday, I guess now. And you know, that's going to be probably a rotating schedule type bullshit. It might not be, but at the same time, because it's going to be in the capital, and that's roughly about 3.5 hours drive on a good day, it's not really that far from here. It's 160 kilometers, so it should only take about an hour and a half, really, maybe a little bit more, but because it's all curvy, windy, up and down hills and mountains and stuff like that, and it's two lane most of the way in most of the spots, and it's just retard drivers and all that, it does take a long time, which means I will actually be staying there. So that's going to be fun, and the city's pretty noisy on its own. I mean, this city, this is a small city that I'm living in right now, and in the house we're in now, we're actually, I think, my office here, or my recording studio, whatever the hell, where we have the computer set up in this house, is in one of the front rooms, and the thing is, that's maybe about 15 feet from the road. And of course, Mad Max Land, there's cars, there's trucks, there's bikes, everything going by without mufflers, and stuff, and there's a church, like, across the street and one house over, so it's kind of diagonal from us, and I'm recording this Sunday morning, actually. This is the second time I've had to record it, so I screwed up with my mic input. I actually have my microphone, or my webcam microphone recording, not my Yeti. So that was fun. But anyways, there's a church over there, and they make a lot of noise. So if I'm recording in the city, in the capital, it's going to be a lot of noise in general. But if I record here, too, it might not be as much noise as there would be in the capital city. But at the same time, there's a church that goes on, and they're crazy sometimes. They're yelling, they're singing, and when I say singing, I mean they're church singing. It's the shittiest church singing I've ever heard. It's like, oh, it's all out of tune. There's a whole group of them, and they're way out of tune. I've never met any of them. I'm sure they're nice people, but too noisy. And the neighbor, or one of the neighbors up the street or something like that, there's 2 or 3 cars around here. They'll have exhaust. And when one guy sits there, and he revs quite often, his engine. It's like, yeah, if you're checking to make sure your car's working, why don't you just turn it on and drive down the road instead of sitting there in your driveway? You know, at least get a few miles out of it or something. You know, that's the way I see it. But, you know, the way I see it is a lot different than the way other people see it, I guess. And you'll probably hear him later on today. But, yeah, so there's a bunch of noise issues. There's going to be the scheduling issues and stuff. And this is why I haven't done any live things since I've been here. And I was planning on it, but things are getting kind of weird, so I'm going to hang up the cape, the newsreel cape, in the next episode. It's going to be the last one, episode 75. Right now it's 74. There is a WOG, or possibly a group of WOGs, that have shown interest in taking over newsreel. I'm not going to give any names or when they're going to do it. They want to take it over, so we're kind of working with that right now. So they're going to take it over, do their own thing or whatever with it. I don't know exactly what's going to go on. But don't worry, there will be more newsreel apparently. I just don't know when it's going to come on. It might be immediately, it might not. I don't know what their scheduling is like. So that's for them to decide. But yeah, so after it, I mean, Sean and I collectively, since we started, this was like 3.5 years ago when we started this. It was shortly after I got married and moved here and all that stuff, and I mean, a lot's changed. I mean, Sean's dropped off a few times and to do other things. I mean, he's a busy guy. I appreciate all the work that he's done for newsreel, and I mean, again, I'm getting busy. I mean, how many times have I moved in the last 3.5-4 years? I mean, every year I've moved, so yeah, and different companies and stuff, so it really completely fucks things up. So I'm really sad to go, but you know, I've got other projects I'd like to do too, and doing newsreel every week kind of limits what I can do with my time. I don't really mean that in a bad way, but it does. It limits what I'm able to do. Like, I mean, I've got other projects. I mean, staging area with Maltus Kincaid, my little video show, hasn't really gone anywhere in 3.5-4 years. And I came up with the idea for that around the same time I wanted to do a show. Right? We got clearance to do newsreel, so, you know, newsreel took precedence. The first season of Staging Area is only 5 episodes. I've only projected 5 episodes for it. I'm working on 4 right now, 3.5 years later. So, all that fun stuff, right? I mean, if I want to go somewhere, I mean, I still have to worry about uploading newsreel on Sunday mornings and all that stuff. And it's kind of a pain in the ass to do that. You have to be home Sunday morning by a certain time, or Sunday afternoon by a certain time, to upload to the server before our time slot comes up. And then you gotta record everything. And like today, I mean, I'm recording the last second because yesterday there was so much noise, the neighbors aren't home, so there's somebody looking after their place, but they brought their big-ass speaker system into the house, and they had it cranked up to, like, 11 yesterday for 5 hours. So I couldn't record. It was bass, 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 bass. I mean, the freaking walls and windows were shaking. It was insane. And then he finally turned it off. But it's like, shit, by the time he turned it off, it was like 8 o'clock at night, and, you know, I got to spend time with the wife and all that stuff, and she's got time off right now, so... and spend a little bit more time with her for the next few weeks until she goes back for her next semester at school. And, you know, so, sorry. There's all of that that kind of factors in. And, it's getting kind of weird. So it's time to hang up the cape. Somebody else can take up the mantle, and somebody's willing to do it. So I'm cool with that. So I kind of just rambled there, and I probably said a whole bunch of stuff like 18 times in a row, like, repeated myself, but I'm pretty sure you guys get the gist of what I was saying there. This episode and the next episode as a result are going to be relatively short. We did have some people send in some articles last week for the show I was supposed to do last week, and I thank you for that. But I didn't do a show last week, and they didn't send anything in this week, so I had to find everything again this week, so for myself. So yeah, I'm just going to keep them as short as possible unless people are sending stuff in. And I'm not expecting anybody to send anything in for next week because it's just, just one of those things. But aside from my issues, let's just get into the news. In opposite day news, Syrian warplane strike near Damascus despite ceasefire, Syrian observatory says. Insert picture of, I guess, a truck getting smashed by something. Syrian government warplanes carried out several airstrikes in the eastern Ghouta area east of Damascus on Sunday, a day after the Syrian military declared a cessation of hostilities in the area, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said. The British-based monitoring group said Saturday had been relatively calm after the ceasefire took effect with isolated incidents of shell fire. On Sunday, six airstrikes hit the towns of Douma and Ain Terma, in rebel-held eastern Ghouta, it reported. There was no immediate comment from the government or the army. Syria's military declared a cessation of fighting Lots of words here. Syria's military declared a cessation of military activities starting at noon on Saturday in the besieged eastern Ghouta, which has long been controlled by the opposition. One rebel group in eastern Ghouta quickly welcomed the ceasefire. Course, you know, you're not going to be shelled for a while, so yay. But a separate statement from Cairo-based political opposition movement Al-Gad, it sounds the same when I'm saying it on the mic, but I'm trying to pronounce it differently, I'm sorry. Anyways, that group there, headed by Ahmad Jarbah, said the agreement had been reached in Cairo, sponsored by Egypt and Russia, and with the involvement of mainstream rebel groups. There was to be a full ceasefire in eastern Ghouta. No government forces would enter the area, and aid would be allowed in, it said. Numerous attempts at a lasting ceasefire in western Syria, where rebels have lost ground to government forces and their allies over the last year, have both... Oops, sorry, there's a lot of noise there. I'm just going to start that paragraph again. Numerous attempts at a lasting ceasefire in western Syria, where rebels have lost ground to government forces and their allies over the last year, have often collapsed with both sides trading the blame. The U.S., Russia, and Jordan reached a ceasefire and the escalation agreement for southwestern Syria this month, which has reduced violence. That agreement did not include eastern Ghouta, however. And there we go, we're in Mad Max land again. It's interesting that... It's Syria. Said, hey, yeah, we're going to declare a ceasefire. We're not going to do anything. We're going to send aid. Aid can go in, blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, oh, yeah, we're just going to throw in some airstrikes there. Good job, guys. Why? What the hell's the point? You're going to declare a ceasefire? I guess it kind of makes sense. You guys are going to declare a ceasefire. And like, oh, yeah, we declare a ceasefire. Everyone goes, oh, they're happy. Yay, or whatever you do during a ceasefire. I don't know, probably help rebuild things, maybe kind of reposition things. And then, oh, all of a sudden, surprise airstrike. Boom. I guess, tactically, it does make a bit of sense if you want to destroy your enemies. Sure. Lie. And then do that, but ceasefire. Come on. Ceasefire. If it's a ceasefire, you cease firing. You do not send more equipment in. You do not perform more strikes. Just leave it alone. Don't be buddy fuckers. I mean, you're at war, yes, but really, for fuck's sakes, people. And also, why are we still at war? Why are all these places still at war? Why? Why? Because their neighbors or their people within their own country, well, again, neighbors within their own country, don't, you know, have differing viewpoints? For fuck's sakes, 21st century people, get the fuck over it. Seriously, I don't care where you're from. And this is technically probably a proxy war with the, you know, US and Russia or whatever. But seriously, why the fuck are we still fighting? Come on. Really? Really? Malthus just says really. Like, for fuck's sakes. Anyways, into the next article. In Welcome to the Future News. That's a really crappy title. I'm sorry. Elon Musk says he has approval to build the New York City to Washington, D.C. Hyperloop. He claims it will get you there in 29 minutes. Yes, that's very fast. Elon Musk's latest venture, the Boring Company, yes, they are boring. I guess they dig holes in the ground, has certainly been a source of amusement. Link for that there. Now the billionaire visionary has tweeted that he's received verbal government approval, so I should say, to build in a New York to Philadelphia to Baltimore to DC Hyperloop, which will get you from New York to Washington, DC in 29 minutes. It currently takes approximately 2.5 hours to travel between the two cities on Amtrak's Acela Express. There's a tweet from him which says, just received verbal government approval for the Boring Company to build an underground New York to Philly to Baltimore DC Hyperloop and by the DC in 29 minutes. That was from July 20th, 2017, is what I should say. The company is currently working on tunnels aimed at relieving congestion in LA. As a link for that there, Musk tweeted that the New York to DC Hyperloop would be constructed in parallel with city center to city center service, including up to a dozen entry and exit points per city, followed by a Los Angeles-San Francisco loop. He also envisions a Texas Hyperloop as a possibility as well, which is to link Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. Oh, and Austin, Texas, I guess, too. And that's some pretty far-off planning. There's another tweet here from him, which from the same day, July 20th, which says, for sure, first set of tunnels are to alleviate greater LA urban congestion. We'll start the NY to DC loop in parallel, then probably LASF and a Texas loop. Now, we're not sure who's going to work with Musk and the Boring Company on these projects. We've asked, but Musk hasn't responded. Chances are, though, that it will be Hyperloop 1. I mean, why not? The company recently completed a successful test of its maglev transport system. But even more importantly, it's staffed by former SpaceX workers, and Musk is friends with its co-founder. Which, of course, you know, if you're one of the only companies that can do it, why not have them work on it? We're skeptical that this project will ever happen, but you can't say that Musk doesn't have interesting ideas. So that is definitely interesting. I mean, I think we on Newsreel had discussed Hyperloop a few times or whatever, and it's an awesome thing. I mean, you have a pod instead of tube. They suck the air out of the tube, so it's a vacuum, so there's no atmospheric friction on the pod, so it goes super fast through the tube, right? That's the noise it makes. That's what they sound like. So that's very cool. Now, the only problem is the verbal government approval from the government to do that. Well, that's all fine and dandy, except for that's verbal government approval, which, as we all know, doesn't really mean shit. You need to have written government approval or, you know, something, right? Verbal government approval isn't really worth beans, right? So, very interesting if they do that. Obviously, this is something that is 21st century. We need to kind of get away from regular railroads and stuff. And this makes a lot more sense. I think this would actually be cheaper. I mean, you have a tube. Maybe it wouldn't be. I'm not sure. But anyways, it's cool. We know it's cool. I know it's cool. Yeah. And into the next article in Occult News. Now, this is a bit of a long one. This is from Motherboard, actually, a few days ago. The U.S. Army funded astral projection and hypnosis research in the 1980s. And they say that this is a real-life X-File. human consciousness is nothing but an intersection of energy planes that forms a hologram able to travel through space-time across the universe and into the past, present, and future. Yeah, you guys all knew that, right? Yeah, I knew that, right? So, yeah. I read about this idea in a CIA document. Now, this guy's writing this in the first-person perspective, I guess, which is kind of weird, but... So I read about this article, or about this idea, in a CIA document about the U.S. Army. Yes, the U.S. Army. The institution that painstakingly crafts an image of commitment to pragmatic and logical objectives. When I was reading through the documents, I was certainly a bit surprised. According to the declassified CIA documents that I read, the U.S. Army was extremely interested in psychic experimentation. From the late 70s into the 80s, it even paid for intelligence officers, to go on week-long excursions to an out-of-the-way institute specializing in out-of-body experiences and astral projection. The documents were declassified as early as 2001, there's a link for that there, but they caught my eye when they appeared in Reddit conspiracy subreddit, conspiracy subreddit, post earlier this month, there's a link for that there. I hate seeing the r whatever, it throws my brain off. I know it's Reddit, but still. The psychic experimentation program, which was called Project Centerlane, link for that there, interviewed Army intel officers in order to determine attitudes about the possible use of psychoenergetic phenomena in the intelligence field, according to the declassified CIA document from 1984. This kind of sounds like MKUltra, or it's probably a splinter of that or whatever. As a huge fan of the X-Files, I couldn't resist reading as much as I could about Project Centerlane, which looks like it could have appeared on the show. And honestly, it probably did in some way or another. In June of 1983, Army Commander Wayne W. McDonnell was asked to give his commander an assessment of the psychic services provided by the Monroe Institute, a nonprofit organization focused on treatments designed to expand a person's consciousness. The Monroe Institute is known for its patented HemiSync technologies, link for that there, which uses audio to synchronize the brain waves on the left and right sides of the brain. According to the organization's website, this makes the brain vulnerable to hypnosis. Isn't this what Sean Kennedy was mentioning on, what was it, patrolling? Or something like that? I think that's kind of part of that. Look into that yourself. Brain vulnerable to hypnosis. McDonald himself had completed the 7-day psychic program the month prior at the Institute, which is lodged in the middle of Virginia's Blue Ridge Mountains in a town called Faber, about 30 miles east of Charlottesville. So now we know where that is. McDonald's assessment, collected from his experience at the secluded Institute, formed the basis of a 29-page Army document that featured detailed explanations of hypnosis, holograms, and out-of-body experiences. The document placed these phenomena in the context of larger ideas of consciousness, energy, space-time, quantum subatomic particles, and so-called astral projection, a practice that aims to transport consciousness around a metaphysical plane, the central idea in McDonald's assessment. McDonald cited a metaphor penned by Monroe Institute employee Melissa Jagger in order to illustrate the nature of hypnosis. The metaphor says that a normal state of consciousness is like a lamp, which emits light in a chaotic, incoherent way. However, a hypnotized state of consciousness is said to be like a laser beam, whose thoughts and energy are focused like a disciplined stream of light. So I insert pictures there. Consciousness energy grid, diagram of the cosmic egg, and stylized rendition of a simple torus. You can look at those yourself and read all the points on them, because it's a bit of information. Black hole, white hole, blah, blah, blah. Institutional insights of not only personal, but of a practical and professional nature would seem to be within bounds of reasonable expectations, McDonald wrote in reference to parapsychology. In other words, Commander McDonald concluded that hypnosis and astral projection are worth the Army's while. Officers accepted into Project Centerlane underwent hypnosis and practiced reaching the so-called astral plane, with the goal of learning foreign languages and undergoing what the documents only refer to as habit control training. It sounds almost like MKUltra right there. Habit control training. Yes, let's get you kind of work in a way that you're going to do this. Although that could be anything though, just wording, right? More cars going by, yay. According to one of the declassified Army files, with a link right there, 251 Army intelligence candidates were selected for the first year of experimentation. Of those candidates, 117 were interviewed under the impression that they were taking a survey. Yes, it's just a simple, harmless survey. The document gives no specifics about the survey itself, but does indicate that the interviewer asked fairly direct questions about psychoenergetics. Yes, psychoenergetics. Energetics. Damn it, mouth. Start working properly. Individuals who had objections to the military use of psychoenergetics were not considered for the final selection. Of course, why would you take people on for experimentation or whatever that were opposed to it? That, you know, it's one of those things, right? Well, the mind thing, so. Wrong paragraph. There we go. The document reads, additionally, individuals who displayed an unreasonable enthusiasm for psychoenergetics, occult fanatics, and mystical zealots were not considered for final selection. So obviously they were looking for the average person, people who were, oh yeah, I love this stuff, man, yeah, I'm a witch or whatever. Or whatever. You know, they don't want to have the anyone from the extreme ends of the spectrum. They want to have somebody, people right in the middle. So they want the average person, which if you think about the army, when you go into the army or any person that really, well, just the general population, the most people in the general population are going to be in the average, right? You got some people on both extreme ends of the spectrum for different things, you know, physical traits, mental traits, whatever, right? You want to have people in the middle because that's, you know, the vast majority of the pool of people that you're going to be pulling from. Between 30 and 35 of the original 251 candidates were said to have quote-unquote desired traits such as open-mindedness and intelligence that made them suitable for the program. Intelligence officers who were accepted to the program were sent to the Monroe Institute. Officers would then listen to the HemiSync audio. After this, one of the Institute's research associates would guide intel officers into the astral plane, a psychic space in which the Institute said that the officers supposedly could heighten their sensory experiences, heal their bodies, travel into the past or the future, or even solve real-world dilemmas without the restraints of a physical body. Another technique known as remote viewing was also employed upon government employees of an unknown agency, according to a declassified document, which is right here, from 1982. The document doesn't specifically mention the Army or the Monroe Institute itself, but it precisely follows the description of remote viewing, which was explained in detail, with a link there, in a 1983 document that explicitly mentions the facility. The goal of the psychic session was to make the subject remotely view Mars, yes, the planet Mars, in the year 1 million BC. So that's a long time ago. Over a million years ago. According to the transcript, an interviewer read coordinates and verbal cues to a subject who claimed to see dust storms, alien structures, and even an ancient alien race. The quote from this is, very tall, again, very large people, the unidentified subject said, according to the transcript, but they're thin. They look thin because of their height, and they dress like, oh hell, it's like a real light silk, but it's not a flowing type of clothing. It's cut to fit. They're ancient people, they're dying, it's past their time or age, and they're very philosophic about it. They're looking for a way to survive, and they just can't. I reached out to the U.S. Army Intelligence and Security Command, the specific intel unit that had a relationship with the Monroe Institute, for any information about its use of HemiSync technology. Ron Young, an INSCOM rep, told me that in an email that after checking with the unit's division at Fort Meade, Maryland, no records are on file for the technology request information on. Oh, isn't that just handy? Yeah, it's not been covered up at all. Young pointed out that the U.S. Army Operational Group, or the AOG, featured in the heading of a 1983 document, was disbanded in 1995, after which all files relevant to the Monroe Institute were transferred to whichever agency absorbed the AOG. The files were later released under a Freedom of Information Act request. Young couldn't tell me which agency had absorbed the AOG. I contacted the CIA about which agency had absorbed them, or how the CIA came into the possession of documents related to the Monroe Institute. The agency didn't have either piece of information. Again, coincidentally, they didn't have it. Right. Then again, it's the CIA. Why would you be surprised about it, tell ya? I reached out to the Monroe Institute repeatedly for comment, but I was always referred to Executive Director Nancy McMonagle. McMonigle, however you pronounce that, who was never available to speak with me. Oddly enough. Excuse me. Throat's getting itchy. However, its website openly speaks about its previous relationship with the U.S. Army. Ray Waldketter, who is described as a personnel management analyst, wrote an article for the 1991 Hemisync Journal. Apparently they have a journal for that, so there's a link to that there. Reviewing the Army's use of Hemisync tech, which is available on the Monroe Institute's website. He wrote that the Army... He wrote that the Army used Hemisync tech for stress reduction, psychological counseling, and enhanced learning abilities of various levels of personnel, as well as training for people seeking officer-level positions. Several intensive experiences in Army military training programs have demonstrated positive results using the Hemisync technology, Waldketter said, or he wrote, I guess. This is hardly the first time the Army and U.S. military at large have experimented with paranormal phenomena. The branch has been known, there's a link there for that, to dabble in witchcraft, psychic visions, excessive LSD, which I would believe would be the MKUltra experiments, and hypnosis as an interrogation method. In 1972, the government even attempted a psychic probe of Jupiter, the planet, just months before Pioneer 10 retrieved the first scientific data and photographs of the gaseous planet. While we don't know which government agency conducted this probe, the document was eventually declassified by the NSA. It's unclear when exactly the Army's collaboration with the Monroe Institutes came to an end, but in a Wall Street Journal article from 1994, there's a link for that there, former INSCOM director Albert Stubblebine confirmed that the Army indeed sent intel officers to the Institute during the 80s. The CIA report outlining some of these techniques is also dated January 1984. If you want to try your hand at projecting your consciousness to a higher plane, the Monroe Institute is still operating and selling its Hemisync program today. And so again, there's a link for that there. In either way, you can rest assured that the wildest conspiracy theory you can imagine is actually true. So that's kind of interesting that they were doing that, but it's at the same time, it's not really too surprising because again, we all know about the MKUltra experiments. And if you don't, you should probably look it up. There's enough links in there which probably link back to it, or just use Google or something, you know? Very interesting. Very interesting about... Oh, yeah, let's check out what was on Mars a million years ago. What the hell's the point in that? I guess maybe because it possibly was covered in water back in the day, so maybe it had life. But I don't know. That's just interesting. So, yeah. And into the last article for this week in UAV News. Sorry. UK drone rules will require you to take safety tests. Yes, that's right. And you'll have to register your drone, too. Let me guess. Let's say I never saw that one coming at all, did I? US officials might be easing up on drone regulations. There's a link for that there. But the UK counterparts are pushing forward. The British government has instituted rules that require you to not only register any robotic aircraft weighing over 250 grams. That's a little bit more than half a pound. Well, not very heavy at all. Actually, I think that's most RC aircraft, really. But to take a safety awareness test to prove you understand the drone code. Drone code. That's right. There's a link for that there, too. Probably don't fly over people. Don't crash into buildings. You know, don't attack people with your drones, etc. You know, common sense stuff, probably. Regulators hope that this will lead to fewer drones flying over airports and otherwise causing havoc in British skies. Not that they're taking any chances. The UK is also planning wider use of geofencing, which is, you know, certain coordinates, whatever. You can't essentially, oh yeah, we'll put this line here on the map and your drone can't fly past it, like in its software, like the autopilot. Excuse me, when you set the coordinates for your autopilot, it'll be like, oh yeah, you can't go past here. So it'll prevent you from actually flying there with your GPS, right? So, although if you're running non-autopilot drones, UAVs like what I do, that doesn't mean anything. But I also don't fly near airports because I'm not an asshole. So, yeah. Geofencing to prevent drones from flying into dangerous airspace. The new rules come following a study highlighting the dangers of wayward drones. which in my opinion is about 80% of them. The smaller drone isn't necessarily safer than its larger alternatives. For example, many of those more compact models have exposed rotors that can do a lot of damage. As I well know, because I got my hand sliced up pretty good on a slow moving propeller I'm on one of my on my first plane actually, and it actually did quite a bit of damage for not spinning at full speed. So yeah, I can imagine what four of them spinning at full speed would do. Probably you'd probably want to die. It would probably carve flesh from your bone. Those blade, those propeller blades are pretty sharp on those things. A drone weighing around 400 grams, so 0.88 of pounds, almost a full pound, can crack the windscreen of a helicopter. While all but the heaviest drones will have trouble cracking the windscreen of an airliner, and then only at speeds that you'd expect beyond the airport. While you might not cause as much chaos as some have feared, you could still create a disaster using a compact drone. Oh, also, let's not forget the possibility of one of those drones being sucked into a turbofan engine on commercial aircraft. It's the same thing as a bird strike. If you get a bird large enough or in a certain go into the engine in a certain spot or whatever, it'll take out the engine. That's, they suck in things, right? Very dangerous. They can probably compensate for that, but still, you don't piss around like that. Like, don't be a buddy fucker, right? It's nothing new to registered drones, of course, and it doesn't appear to have dampened enthusiasm in the US. The test adds a wrinkle, though. How willing are you to buy a drone if you know you'll have to take a quiz? Well, by that definition, like, how willing are you to buy a car if you know you actually have to have a license to drive it on the road, and also have insurance in order to drive it on the road? You have to pass your exam in order to get your license in the first place. Like, it's the same thing. You drive a multi-ton piece of steel and plastic and glass down the road, you have to be responsible with it. Same thing when you're flying a few hundred grams, maybe a pound or two of plastic, glass, and possibly steel in the air with rotating blades of death. You know, you gotta be kind of careful with that stuff. The tests likely won't slow sales too much. Probably not, because they'll be buying them and flying them illegally, if at all. But it could give people one more reason to pause before buying a drone on impulse. No, they'll just buy it. The only way they're not going to be buying them is if the government says, okay, yep, all you big box retailers or wherever, online places, if you're gonna sell them and ship them here, you have to meet regulations which require you to make sure that the person is able to fly these things legally. Have to pass ground school, you know, like, yeah, all that fun stuff. Manufacturers appear to be in favor of the new rule book. Of course they are, because if they aren't, they're not gonna make any money. At any rate, DJI tells, and that's the company that makes the Phantom series of quadcopters, tells the BBC that the UK is striving for a reasonable solution that balances safety with a recognition of the advantages that drones can bring to public life. That's very interesting. We here at Newsreel, we've been following drones and UAV use for, 3.5 years here now, off and on, and you can't say I never said saw that or never said that it was going to happen. Is that you got all these assholes flying this shit? They're doing it in such stupid ways, and they don't give a fuck. Don't give a fuck about safety. Like, there's that one video. I think we even put that video up on Newsreel when we first started. That guy flying a quadcopter or something in, I think it was New York City. The first time he flew it, or one of the first times he flew it, anyways, and he flew it from the balcony of his high-rise building. And he flew it up and he was having issues with it, and he lost control and it hit the building and it landed, boom, 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 did a big tumble into the ground, into the sidewalk. And I don't know if, did it hit somebody or something like that? There's been other ones that have hit people and stuff, right? It's like, for fuck's sakes, if you're gonna fly something like that, go to the park where there's nobody around you and test it there, or go to a field. Or do this, go to a flying club. They have RC flying clubs. Go there. They're actually allowed to fly those things there. You know, test it out there, and once you're done, then go do your thing, right? I saw this coming a mile away. So many assholes fucking around, fucking it up for the rest of us, right? I'm not going to complain, because even though I kind of just did complain, but I mean, whatever. They should do that because it's dangerous. I've been saying this for the last few episodes, is that they need to regulate it, unfortunately, because there's so many retards. Same thing with cars. I mean, back in the day, I'm assuming that when they first had cars, they probably weren't licensed. They probably didn't have to have insurance on them, I would imagine, you know, for the first 5 years, 10 years. I'm not sure. I'm not a historian on that stuff. But I can see that. But I mean, you got more cars and more people using cars, more people getting into accidents and stuff. What happens? Well, you need to have an insurance requirement. You need to have a license requirement. You need to prove that you can actually operate that vehicle. And it's the same thing with drones. You have to, it's because you have the money to buy it, doesn't mean you should be able to buy it. You should be able to prove without a doubt that you can operate it properly. Simple as that. But, and the thing is, this is probably going to have consequences for the RC aircraft community as well, because I mean come on, I'm a remote control aircraft. I had a styrofoam airplane which probably weighed about 0.5 pound. It probably meets the minimum requirements for registration. The thing is, what's the difference between a UAV and a remote control aircraft? A camera really is about the minimum. If it's got a sensor package of some sort on it, be it an infrared camera or some other sensor on it, that could technically be considered a drone, I would think. Or if it has an autopilot on it, has an autopilot board or something like that, or a system, then that's a drone automatically. Even though it's not doing anything, if it's just flying around in a circle above your flying field, that could technically still be misconstrued as being a drone, right? When in actuality, it's not. It's just a remote control aircraft with an autopilot system on it, right? So that's. And I'm going to say this right now. I wouldn't be too damn surprised if they say, yes, you need to be. They bring this out into other countries first off, and then eventually within the next 1 to 3 years they're going to say, okay, well, you have this for operating the vehicle, now you need to have the license for operating the transmitter, the radio, to actually control it, right? So because you got to send a signal to the plane's receiver so that actually you can follow your commands. I won't be surprised if they're going to be like, oh yeah, you need to actually do that now in a few years and whatnot, right? I mean, I know for beyond line of sight in most countries, you actually need, because beyond line of sight control is done with UHF, VHF, which is ham radio, amateur radio essentially. You need to have an amateur radio license for that, which luckily I have, so I don't give a shit, but you need to actually have a call sign on that. You need a spot to do it in the transmitter or receiver or whatever. So there's that, right? I can imagine that they're going to be like, yep, you need to have your license for controlling it, you need to have your ground school, and a lot of places, I think Canada, I'm not sure about the states, probably though, require ground school for commercial UAV operators. Even if you're just flying a plane, not a quadcopter, just a plane with a camera on it, looking down, taking aerial photos, you need to have UAV pilot ground school, which is insane. But that's a thing within the last few years too. So, all this fun stuff, you know. So if you're going to be getting into it, same as anything else, do it responsibly. Don't fuck anybody else over. We do not really need any more regulations. They're probably going to come anyways, but we don't need to hasten that at all. That's all I have for that, for the news anyway. So I do not have any weekly hacks or any cyberpunk kit for you this week. I'm sorry. I wasn't able to find anything really. There's a few things that were kind of there I was looking into, but I left them. So I'm sorry. But, you know, everyone has internet that's listening to this, so there you go. we do have two rec media for you this week. We have, first off, trailer 2 for Blade Runner 2049. As we all know, Blade Runner 2049 is the continuation of the Blade Runner saga. So definitely check that out. Very cool. And the second thing we have is the International Space Station Google Street View thing. So they actually did Street View of the ISS modules. And I actually took a look around there pretty quickly. That's actually interesting the way they have it set up. There's one thing I came across, which is a module, or it's a connector between modules. And all these modules are usually circular, except for one that's kind of rectangular, I noticed. But they're circular on the inside, because they're circular when they, you know, put them up there, and it's got like all these packages, and they're held down with ropes or netting or something like that around the inside. So they made a tunnel of supplies, I guess. So it's pretty cool. So definitely check that out. You might be able to hear some noise. I just noticed because there's that church is across the street here now with this new place, making a lot of noise. So there's probably some really horrible singing there. Yeah. Anyways. They're usually out of tune and very loud. But Yeah, so that's all I have for you this week. Don't worry, I'll be back next week, hopefully, or 2 weeks from now, to make sure that you get the news that you need to survive. This has been a free transmission brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. Please distribute this media in any way that you can. A special thanks goes out to pretty much all the Wogs, definitely Nullix for hosting the downloadable episodes on his server. Thank you for that, Nullix. If you have any information you'd like to send, please do so. You can reach us at info@newsreel.ca. That's info@newsreel.ca, or by clicking on the Contact Us tab on newsreel.ca, the website. If you like the music in the background, please be sure to check out Tool, because Tool's actually pretty good, and I haven't heard from them in a while, so I'm putting them in. I don't have any outro music selected for this week, and I'm sorry for that. I was looking and looking. I'm honestly still looking, so hopefully I can find something put in there. So it'll be on the page, so you can find out what that is. Until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Schmach, ja, und schreie.